Who said what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The New York Attorney General's Office is set to release today its testimony from Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis. The transcript will go to the federal regulators and officials in charge of bailout money. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports this morning the testimony indicates Lewis was told to stay quiet about the kinds of losses facing Merrill Lynch before the bank acquired Merrill. From New York, here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Normally, a company is obliged to let shareholders know a prospective acquisition is in financial trouble. Armed with that knowledge, shareholders can opt to scrap a deal. But Ken Lewis apparently felt Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson wanted him to keep quiet about Merrill Lynch's financial problems. The Journal says Lewis's testimony shows he felt the government was pressuring him to buy Merrill, warning him its collapse would cause deeper havoc in the financial system. Lewis's testimony also indicates the government would have forced him out if he decided to drop the deal. Many B of A investors were furious when they found out how much money the newly acquired Merrill Lynch had lost. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There are talks starting up tomorrow in Washington among the world's finance ministers. Also there, it's spring meeting time for the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The discussions are all part of an effort to try and resolve the differences and how to go about fixing the global economic meltdown. World Bank President Robert Zoellick told Marketplace yesterday that first and foremost, the world needs to focus on developing economies that can't take so much push and pull.
What we're starting to see is a series of wave effects, and some of the slowdown in the real economies in the developing world will then affect their financial sectors. So one of the things that we're trying to do at this meeting here is to try to highlight some ways to support those most vulnerable and most in need.
Zoellick and International Monetary Fund Managing Director Dominique Strauss-Kahn will preview their meetings in separate news conferences later this morning. And the tumbling continues. The Dow closed down 82 points yesterday, about a percent, to close at 78.86. The S&P lost a little ground, too, but NASDAQ shares were up slightly. Yesterday, Apple Computers reported better-than-expected profits, up 15%. European shares are mixed. Asian markets closed up 1 to 2%. In a few hours, we're set to get a first-quarter report from the CME Group, as in Chicago Mercantile, the Merc, as it's affectionately known. In case you didn't know, it's the world's largest derivatives exchange. Shares are trading for less than half what they were a year ago, and that means the fallout's doing a number on another side of the financial industry. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
CME Group is the massive exchange made up of the Chicago Board of Trade, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and NYMEX. It facilitates futures and options trading, everything from gold to interest rates to pork bellies. Trading volume is the name of the game. Michael Wong is an analyst with Morningstar.
Unlike the investment banks, where they may make money by taking the other side of transactions, CME Group just matches buyers and sellers together.
And that matchmaking has been slipping recently. The trading volume so far this year is much lower than the beginning of 2008, causing analysts like Mark Lane from William Blair & Company to raise a red flag and downgrade the stock's rating.
The key driver in getting volume growth going and getting the company growing once again is a stabilization in credit markets and an increase in risk tolerance.
Lane says he thinks the future of the company is promising, but the near term, he says, will be tough. From Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
GM workers could find out today how long production will shut down for the summer. Reports say most factories could close for up to 9 weeks, except for those making the company's most popular cars and trucks. The closings would happen around the normal 2-week shutdown in July, when changes are made from one model year to the next.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by DreamWorks Pictures, presenting The Soloist, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx, in theaters everywhere April 24th. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Strikes and street protests are almost as French as a cigarette before dessert. But in the last few months, French workers facing layoffs have started taking things to new extremes. Anita Elash takes a look at the now more radical French labor movement.
taxi! François-Henri, un taxi! Un taxi!
One of France's richest men, François-Henri Pinault, held hostage in a taxi by workers upset at plans to close stores and lay people off at Fnac, Pinault's chain of culture and electronics stores. Eric Maclou, who's been at Fnac for nearly 30 years, said it was a last resort for employees who felt no one was listening to them.
We wanted him to see how real people see things, to say, there are real people in the stores you own. They have faces and voices, and they are our faces and voices.
Pinault is just one of the bosses who's been trapped in close quarters with angry employees. In the last couple of months, there have been boss nappings at companies like 3M, Sony, and Caterpillar. Some factories have been occupied for weeks. Bernard Vivier, director of the Paris-based Higher Institute of Work, says relations between unions and companies have always been tough in France. He says labor relations are marked by confrontation, barricades, and mistrust. In France, you go on strike first, and then you negotiate. Boss nappings were common in the 1970s, when unions were pushing for more rights. Labor expert John Evans says workers have returned to those extreme measures because they have far fewer options in the depressed French labor market than they might have, say, in the US.
There are no alternative jobs. So there's not the option either of finding jobs locally or indeed when this is happening on a national scale, saying, OK, we'll move to the equivalent of California.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy has said the government will start punishing boss napping and other illegal protests. But in the meantime, it looks like radical measures are succeeding. Most workers have successfully negotiated better severance packages after letting their bosses go. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.